Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Right, let's continue the discussion we were having on the Radio City Legends last night as to what our clubs exist to be. Do Liverpool or Everton, do they still exist to win trophies? Or is it just top four status? What is it? Let's have Fan Friday with Jay and Mickey. Morning to you, chaps.
Morning, fellas.
Morning, boys.
There we go. Let's start off with Mickey on this. What does Everton exist to be?
Well, I think we aspire. Obviously, I think you set out at the start of the season, you know, to win trophies. You know, whether that be, you know, your FA Cups, whether you're in the European competition, or whether you're in the league. I think, you know, everyone sets out, you know, obviously to win a trophy. But I think with the amount of money now that's involved in the game, I think you know, your top four and getting into that Champions League is where the big bucks is. And I think that's where, you know, things are a little bit different nowadays.
Jay, are we living in days gone by? Is it the nostalgic memories of the Merseyside domination that make us think we should just be about trophies? Because maybe the owners of the football club, maybe Liverpool's owners, see it a different way.
It's very difficult nowadays, isn't it? You know, as Mickey's just said there, the money that's in football nowadays is astronomical, really. And, you know, when you look at the Manchester clubs, they're just spending so much money nowadays that it's difficult to compete, isn't it, really? And, you know, it doesn't help when, you know, we sell our best player in this transfer window and then not replace him. And I take on board what Klopp's saying, but the facts are, the money that we got for Coutinho was crazy money. So it's supply and demand, isn't it? You know, if you basically get that type of figure for a footballer, then if you're going to replace him, you're going to have to spend big money as well, aren't you? And, you know, the facts are, the proof's in the pudding. Liverpool haven't won a trophy now for 6 years, and we've gone through a couple of spells like this, really, haven't we, over, you know, years gone by. And, you know, it just doesn't look like we're going to break that anytime soon, really. And it's a shame, because I do think Klopp's a very good manager, but, you know, as I say, I can't really see us winning much under him.
Of course, one of the famous quotes of years gone by is, where's the Arteta money? So where's the Coutinho money? Has this just vanished, or will it be thoroughly reinvested, Jay?
I think people are deluded if they think that we've still got £140 million to spend. I mean, let's get into the real world. We wouldn't have spent £75 million on Virgil van Dijk, would we, if we weren't getting the Coutinho money? You know, cynical people will also say that the rest of it's gone on Naby Keita, and, you know, that may well be the case, because it doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, we've took a massive gamble by selling Coutinho, not replacing him. You can say it's crazy money to replace him, but we should have money available there to get someone in, and we just haven't done it. And, you know, it's very frustrating putting your faith in an injury-prone Adam Lallana. No, Oxlade-Chamberlain, for as good as he is, he's never really had that role in a side where the onus is on him to create things for the forward players and, you know, be the magical little inspiration in the middle of the park. And also, you know, you've got to look at the fact that we've let Sturridge go. And yeah, okay, fair enough. I don't think Sturridge is the player he once was. And as I've said a few times, when he started against Liverpool, it was like we had 10 men at times. But I think it was Gary Neville who made the point just last night, really, about what happens if Firmino gets a two-month injury now, between now and the end of the season. We've got to turn to a young kid who hasn't even scored a goal for us yet, Dominic Solanke, or, you know, Danny Ings, who's coming off like 2 years of really bad injuries, or playing Mo Salah up front, you know, out of position. It's just not ideal, and we're taking really a massive gamble between now and the end of the season.
It feels to me like Everton have been very loose with their wallet in the past 6 months, very happy to spend money. But do you, like Jay, feel there's enough depth in the Everton squad, Mickey?
Probably not. If you look at sort of certain positions that, you know, a lot of Evertonians that we're looking at to be filled, you know, the left-back situation is one that we've, you know, been going on about, not just in this transfer window, the transfer window before. And, you know, to have the lad Martina come in, who, let's be honest, you know, he really isn't good enough. Although he had a decent game the other night against Leicester, that is a complete one-off. He's a, you know, I think he was Southampton's third choice right back, and he's now playing left back for Everton, and it's, you know, he really isn't good enough. And there's a couple of, you know, the situation of letting Adam Ola-Luckman go out on loan to Germany. I think there was a little bit of a secret in Sam Allardyce's wording when he said that he was stubborn, that all is not well between those two.
That's a strange one, isn't it?
Sorry, mate.
That's a strange one, the Adam Ola-Luckman to Germany one. Some were saying, oh, he's homesick, he'll go back to London. Then he goes to Germany.
Very strange, mate. Very, very, very strange. You know, I think Allardyce wanted him to go and learn his trade, he said, didn't he, down in the Championship. But he didn't fancy that. He you know, we said he's got his own way in the end, and he's gone over to Germany. And I think it's all about game time, isn't it? Playing time. I think Allardyce wanted to make sure that he actually got a game, you know, to make sure that he gets some experience. But whether he's going to do that over in Germany is a different matter. But yeah, it's, you know, as you say, we have spent, you know, with some money on the likes of Davy Klassen as well, who hasn't sort of quite worked out. Sandro Ramirez didn't quite work out. Michael Keane a little bit. The jury's still out there. So yeah, as you say, mate, it's, you know, some of the signings haven't been great, but it's, you know, unfortunately, it's just the way things are at the moment. You've got to spend money to sort of even just to try and keep up with the teams around you.
There's a lot of wages going out. Theo Walcott's not cheap. I believe he earns more than he was earning at Arsenal. Eloquin Mangala, well, you know, if he was Europe's most expensive defender a couple of years ago, he's not come on the cheap. I'm sure Everton will be paying his fees at the moment, at least until the end of the season. In Mangala, have they signed a left-sided centre-half, or are you actually going to see him take the left-back position?
Well, I know, as you say, he's left-footed, isn't he? And that's where we have been struggling. But for me, I just don't think he was needed. I personally think that we have plenty of cover in that position. You know, you've got your Phil Jagielka is there, you've got Ashley Williams, Mason Holgate can play there. You know, you've got Michael Keane there. I think we've got an abundance of centre-halves, and I don't think he was a priority. As I say, for me, the priority would have been left-back. And, you know, Mangala, he did come in, you know, for a lot of money at Man City, but I think I've seen him play. His confidence seems to be shattered, and for me, sometimes he's a bit of an accident waiting to happen. But we'll have to wait and see. As I say, he's come with good pedigree. He's a French international. But for me, I just think there was more urgent sort of positions that need filling.
Jay, you mentioned before Roberto Firmino, and it does beg the question, what would Liverpool do without Roberto Firmino at the moment? Mane's not firing on all cylinders. Firmino does the total job for the team, doesn't he, up front and at the back as well. He's pretty irreplaceable.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, really. I mean, I raised my doubts in the summer about when he, obviously, number nine role up front, and thought he doesn't score enough goals, really, but this season he's took it on another level, really. He's scored 19 goals, I think it is, in 34 games. And you know, it's great figures, really, when you consider he's lost. You know, he's missed a few penalties, hasn't he? And you know, he isn't a proper centre-forward, and he's not really a poacher type of player. But some of the goals he's been scoring lately have just epitomised what he's all about. He's very clever, very classy. And like I say, he's got that work ethic as well, hasn't he? So brings other players into play. So He has been fantastic for Liverpool this season. There's no doubt about that.
You mentioned penalties. I never quite understood why they took Mo Salah off penalties after he missed the one against Huddersfield, just after he'd scored the one for Egypt that took them to the World Cup. But of course, that begged the question, who's Liverpool's main penalty taker? You've seen Firmino take them, Milner, of course. And then it came back to Mo Salah the other night. I think they should just stick with Mo, shouldn't they?
I think they will do now because he scored that goal in midweek against Huddersfield. But, you know, like I say, he did miss one against Huddersfield earlier on in the season. So it was a case of he missed one, so they move on to the next person in the pecking order. And
Is that what you do, though?
Well, no. I mean, James Milner was the one who was taking the penalties, but he doesn't want him playing week in, week out, does he, no more? So, I mean, he was on the pitch, wasn't he, the other night? And I did think he was going to take it, but I think there was a little bit of confusion, wasn't he, who was going to take it. It did seem like Milner was going to actually step up for it. And Salah took the ball off and wanted to score. You know, his token goal that he seems to score every week, doesn't he? So he wanted to score a goal, and he took the pen and scored it. So hopefully now, you know, if we get a few more between now and May, it'll be Salah who steps up and he'll score them.
Weekend action looks pretty good, doesn't it? The Arsenal game for Everton. They've not got the best record, really, at the Emirates. Can they do something this weekend, Mickey?
Well, you would hope so. You know, you would have thought that Everton are going to be sort of buoyed after that, you know, the defeat of Leicester during the weekend. You know, it's nice to see a couple of players coming back. Like, you know, Seamus Coleman, special mention for him, you know, coming back in after, you know, 12 months out of the game. And he was just like a machine. He was man of the match. And I just hopefully that, you know, Seamus's performance can inspire a lot of the other lads. You know, obviously Theo Walcott will go back to his home team, and hopefully he's got, you know, one or two things to prove, and his confidence should be high. But as I say, they Arsenal's always going to be tough. They absolutely wiped the floor with us at Goodison, give us a footballer lesson, which I think was the beginning of the end of Ronald Koeman, wasn't it? So it is going to be tough. You know, they're usually a different proposition as well at home. They usually are quite strong at home, and they've got the the new signing as well. Obviously, Mr. Aubameyang has come in, and that's going to get the crowd up. So it's going to be tough for us there. But as I say, if we can come out the game with something, then we'd be happy.
That's Saturday evening, and of course Sunday evening is Liverpool against Tottenham. And Liverpool 2 points ahead of Tottenham at the moment in the table, Jay.
Yeah, it's a massive six-pointer in it for our top four hopes. And, obviously Tottenham are a very good side. They played really well in midweek against Manchester United. And it's all very tight at the top. Liverpool actually moved up to third, didn't they? Because Chelsea got smashed at home by Bournemouth. And, Man United losing to Spurs. There's only 3 points, isn't he, now, from second place. So it's all to play for. And it's a massive game in Spurs because, like I say, they're a very well-organised side. And, of course, they've got Harry Kane up front who can... He's a proper goal scorer. He's a goal machine. So it's going to be an interesting game.
At 2-1 or 4-3, Jay?
No, you know what? I mean, obviously 3 points is vitally important, but I've just got a feeling it could be a draw. So I'm going to go for 1-1.
1-1. All right. What about Everton, Mickey?
Yeah, I'll go the same. 1-1 all round.
Oh, very good. Sitting on the fence, you two. Excellent stuff. We'll catch up next week. Thank you, boys.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, lads.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.